This is research that I've done with my undergraduate student, Katie Schumann, Tennessee, plus colleagues, graduate student Zhensheng Lo, who is here. So if you see him, you can ask him questions. Lihao Zhu from Wayne State, and Zuko Wilcox O'Hearn from allmydata.org. And we appear to be having some issues. Okay. My perspective on storage, we have storage, we're getting more and more disks, more and more failures, and it brings into play two groups of people when you start having to protect these things with erasure codes. We have the coding theorists who know a lot about coding and math, and we have the people who need to program them, and typically they speak much different languages. I kind of view my role in this as someone who can try to bridge the gap and get the information of the coding theorists to those who need it, and not to maybe solve their problems, but at least give them a starting point so that they can start putting richer erasure codes and richer failure mods into their storage systems. So the point of this talk is multifold. First, I just want to inform you about the current state of how open source erasure coding libraries work, what they can do for you, to compare how the different coding techniques that these libraries implement work, to kind of give you some flavors of what the design decisions are behind these and how they impact performance. So the bottom line is so that you can go home after this talk and converse fluently about erasure codes with your friends and family. Okay, let's start with a little primer about erasure codes so we can all be on the same page. You typically start with N disks in your system and you partition them up into K disks of data and M disks that are going to hold coding information. And one of the things is I try to do with the field is to stop fracture of nomenclature. And so please, if you're going to be talking about erasure codes, I would urge you to use these variables. It's what the coding theorists use. N is a total. You can say K of N, K of M, but try to use K, M, and N. I will in this talk. The active encoding is simple. It's just taking the K disks of data, turning them into M disks of coding. The active decoding is when disks fail, you want to take the survivors and do some arithmetic and munge them and turn them back into the data. An MDS code, which is the codes that I'll be talking about, is a code that has the properties that as long as you have K surviving disks, or as long as you have up to M failures, you can always survive and you can always recalculate your data. More nomenclature, disks are composed of blocks. Sorry about the size of this. The main coding unit that you code with is called a stripe. And I know stripe's an overloaded term, but in coding terms, a stripe is the unit of all your disks that encode together independently. So if you want to shift things around logically so that you can move the coding information around to avoid hotspots, you can do that among different stripes. They all code independently. And the portion of each disk that codes as part of a stripe is called a strip. Now, going over some codes, the most basic code is a Reed-Solomon code. And in your Reed-Solomon codes, your strips are composed of W-bit words, where you have this constraint that 2 to the W has to be greater than N, which means typically you choose W equals 8 because 8-bit word is a byte, and that can protect up to a 256-disk system. Okay? The entire stripe I have over there, that's K plus M or N words. That's often called a code word. The way coding works is it's all dictated by this matrix vector product where you have a generator matrix, you multiply by the data. To get the code word, the top part of the generator matrix is an identity matrix, which gives you the data. So all that really matters is this bottom part of the matrix, which dictates the coding. Arithmetic is special. You can't use modulo arithmetic. You have to use a special arithmetic, which is a little expensive, which is what makes Reed-Solomon coding often unattractive. It's general purpose, yet it's also expensive. First major tweak to Reed-Solomon coding is to turn this matrix vector product of words into a matrix vector product of bits so that each disk now logically holds W bits. And the matrix and the generator matrix that you use to encode now is blown up by a factor of W so that you can do standard binary arithmetic on this, which is faster. And so although it looks like linear algebra, all it is the each row of the matrix basically takes some subset of the data and exclusive ors it together to turn into your coding information. So all of this math just turns down into exclusive ors, but you should get from this that the number of ones in this matrix is going to impact performance, because the more ones that are in this matrix, the more pieces of data you have to XOR to get your coding information. And clearly, for good performance, you're not going to do this on bits, but instead you're going to do it on a larger unit, which is typically called a packet, so that each one of these packets you can view as a bit, but typically they're large. Your disk is broken up, or your strip is broken up into W packets, where each packet is a large size, like a K, or larger. Standard bit matrix codes, the canonical one is a Cauchy-Reed-Solomon code. It's derived from Reed-Solomon codes. It has the same constraints that this value W has to be such that 2 to the W is bigger than your number of disks. And we've done some optimizations to tweak these matrices so that they have fewer ones and perform better. The special case of RAID 6 constrains this system drastically. So with RAID 6, M, your number of coding disks, equals 2. We typically call them P and Q. And the P drives parity, which constrains your Reed-Solomon matrix, or your bit matrix, so that that P row is composed of all ones or all identity matrices. And the only variable in play is how you define this Q row. So the first RAID 6 optimization is to standard Reed-Solomon coding. It's an observation that you can implement multiplication by 2 in this special arithmetic much faster than you can implement general purpose multiplication. So if you organize your Q row so that basically you can organize your multiplication so you're always multiplying by 2, it improves the performance of coding, of Reed-Solomon coding for RAID 6. And this improves encoding, but doesn't improve decoding. For Cauchy coding, this bit matrix coding, the Q row is constrained enough that we can use enumeration to enumerate all possible matrices so that we can find the ones with the fewest number of ones in it, and that can improve the performance of Cauchy coding. One of the byproducts of this, which is a byproduct of the math involved, is that this value of W, which is how you break up your strips, impacts the number of ones, and it doesn't impact it in a nice linear way. In particular, if you choose a value of W to equal 8, which is a very natural choice, it doesn't perform as well as W equals 7 or W equals 9 due to the underlying math. It's weird. I can explain it kind of if you want afterwards, but it's one of those things that's not intuitive, but it's a fact of life. There are other RAID 6 bit matrix codes. One class of them is what I call minimal density codes. These are codes that have provably minimal numbers of ones in them. And there are three classes of these. One of them I gave last year here at FASTS is the liberation code, but there are other classes of these codes which differ in this value of W that you use to break up your strips. And you know, the theoretical ones involve prime numbers, and the important value of 8 doesn't fit into any of these, so I did a little enumeration and came up with a code that has a minimal density just for W equals 8. These codes are interesting because, unlike the Cauchy codes, when W increases, their performance, the theoretical performance, gets better. And we'll show the impact of that, because increasing double makes your W makes your code a little bit more complex. It also requires a special technique for decoding to make it fast. There are two other special purpose codes you probably have heard about, RDP and EvenOd. They're similar. They're special purpose RAID 6 codes. They fit into this framework, but they have extra tweaks to them. They, like the minimal density codes, they have this feature that W, this value that you split up your strips, has to be bigger than K. And unlike the minimal density codes, they work better when W is small. And in particular, when W equals K or K plus 1, RDP has provably optimal encoding and decoding performance. Okay. Those are the codes. Here are the libraries that we explored in this project. The first library is the original Cauchy coding library from Berkeley out in 1990 in C. Doesn't do any optimization of the matrices. It was a piece of code basically to demonstrate how it can improve on Reed-Solomon coding performance. The second library is ZFEC, which is based on a pretty well-known library by Rizzo that basically pushes Reed-Solomon coding in a general purpose implementation really fast It affixes the this value of W equals 8 so that your words are 1 byte. And it does a lot of tuning, loop unrolling, etc. The library JErasure is the one that comes from my research group, implements everything you've seen in all the previous slides. So that you can, the idea of JErasure is to help you compare codes and basically help you to implement codes. And then also we have an implementation from Cleversafe, which comes from their open source distributed storage infrastructure written in Java. They were nice enough to rip out the erasure coding core and give it to us so we could test with it. And then lastly, I added RDP and Evenod to JErasure because there's no open source implementations of those coding techniques. Now, the way I'm, going to be doing the testing in this, is I'm testing a typical encoding scenario where you have a big file and you're wanting to break it up into pieces and encode it. So our testing scenario works in phases. You're going to read a portion of this file into a data buffer, which is going to be broken up into K blocks. Then we're going to encode that into a coding buffer and then write it to disk and then rinse, lather, and repeat. Now, blowing up these blocks a little further, each block is further partitioned so that each block is composed of strips that all work to encode a stripe. So you have, in this picture, S stripes that are all held in these various blocks, and you're going to encode stripe by stripe. Okay? Now, looking further inside each block is further partitioned into W packets. You have this value W, which is a part of the code, and so each strip is broken up into W packets of a defined packet size P, which is a parameter of the simulation. And so what you get is that each strip is of size WP, each block is SWP, where S is the number of stripes, and then the whole data buffer is of size K, number of disks, SWP. So it's a, there are a lot of parameters inside of this, but it's all it all makes sense once you look at it. Okay, the parameter space we explored, we used a 1 gig video file. Our buffer size was about 100 megs. It depends on all the parameters of the code, so we couldn't fix it. It was around 100 megs. And we tested 4 configurations of disks where what you see there is K and M. So the first one is the RAID 6 system where you have six data disks, 2 coding disks. The second one's also RAID 6. And then the other are just 2 other 16-disk configurations. We test all the codes that were implemented by the various libraries and all legal values of W that these coding libraries implement less than or equal to 32. We tested performance on 2 machines. One's a MacBook and one is a Dell running Linux. They're medium performance machines, so it's a 2 gig processor. It's a Core Duo processor. We only used one processor on it. The other was 1.5 gigs. Basically, if you look at the memcopy and the XOR performance, they're medium-level machines, and the MacBook runs about twice as fast as the Dell does. The measurements that you're going to see in the graphs all strip out the disk I.O. so that we're only measuring encoding and decoding, and that's because there's so much variability once you put the disk I.O. in, it's hard to compare the codes. So it's just showing the encoding and decoding size. They're all averages of over 10 runs. The variance is very small, so the numbers here are pretty tight. And the graphs are going to show raw speed and normalized speed. The normalized speed tries to take out the coding parameters or the configuration parameters so you can just compare the codes across configurations, but I'm not going to explain it because it requires you to think a little that way, and I don't have enough time to let you think that way. So the other numbers are the raw numbers, which are kind of intuitive. It's just how fast are you getting those bytes out to your coding drives. Okay, I had some stuff in here about how the packet size impacts the cache and how that impacts performance, and I don't think I had time really to go over that in detail, so I'm just going to tell you, read the paper if you're interested in that. All the numbers that you see, we have tuned the packet size so that it gives optimal performance in terms of how the strips are fitting in the cache. But that's something that's a little bit of a black art, and it takes some effort, and so you should read the paper if you want to see how that works. Okay, the encoding performance, this is kind of the main slide, the main results. It's busy, right? This is all the codes, all values of W on the RAID 6 configuration where we had 6 data disks and 2 coding disks. And what we're going to see is a bunch of observations we can make from this graph. Now, the first one is that the special purpose RAID 6 codes, they rock. They definitely perform better than the more general Reed-Solomon codes, which are down at the bottom of this graph. So RDP, even the minimal density codes, and the Cauchy codes where we enumerated the matrices, all perform really well. Second, these codes are typically theoretically evaluated in terms of their XOR count. To a rough degree, the XOR count does impact coding performance. So in the center graph, that is the number of XORs performed by the various codes. And if you look at this graph and eyeball it in respect to the MacBook graph, they're incredibly similar. You got to flip them, but they're incredibly similar. The codes definitely work according to XOR count. Now, on the Dell, it's a little different. The cache impacts things, and larger values of W, even though they might give you better performance in terms of XOR, make your cache hits less regular. And so on the Dell, which had a smaller cache, that ends up impacting performance. So you can't just say use a high W. You have to take the cache into consideration. Third observation, RDP, the theoretical winner, is the clear winner, but the other codes come close. Within 3% or within 5%, the minimal density codes definitely perform as well as or close to the RDP performance. And in terms of the Cauchy codes, the matrix that you use makes a big difference. The main difference between the Luby implementation and the JErasure implementation is the matrix. The Luby implementation uses a matrix, whereas the JErasure one enumerates all matrices so that you could get the ones that has the minimal number of ones, and the performance definitely matters. And that observation I told you about how the value of W impacts the number of ones, it impacts it in a way that makes it work poorly if you don't think about it. So the most natural values of W, 8, 16, and 32, perform bad compared to the other ones. So if you're going to be using Cauchy Reed-Solomon coding for your RAID 6 implementation, you want to consider this before you affix your parameter value. Okay, number five, Anven's operation, this optimization that makes the last row of the generator matrix so that you're always multiplying by 2, is a big winner in terms of encoding speed over the others. In terms of the general purpose ones that have no optimization, the ZFEC implementation outperformed the JErasure one because it spends more time getting things fast. Showing the other RAID 6 configuration, I'm not going to talk much about this because it's pretty similar, right? All the observations that we see before are the same. The performance of the special purpose codes is good, and again, the cache matters because the values of W are bigger and you have worse cache performance. Now, in terms of the non-RAID 6 configuration, here's a configuration where we have 12 data disks and 4 coding disks. And so the only coding techniques we can use are the general purpose ones, Cauchy coding and Reed-Solomon coding. And now what we get is that the Cauchy coding implementations definitely perform better, but once again, the matrix matters. The difference between JErasure and the Luby implementation is that JErasure tries to optimize the matrix, and that gives you roughly a factor of 2 on the MacBook. Moreover, the value of W, when W is small, works better than when W is large. And the reason for that is that there's some theoretical reasons for it, but one of the reasons is that this works in opposition to the RAID 6 case, is that in RAID 6 the space of matrices is small enough that we can enumerate. Whereas in the bigger case, we don't enumerate, so we're just using heuristics, and the heuristics work better on smaller values. And I think theoretically the smaller values probably are better as well. Probably would take some exploration on that. Okay, decoding performance looks a lot like encoding performance. Just a couple features of it. The minimal density codes require a trick, and their theoretical performance is worse relative to RDP than their encoding performance, and that is borne out by the graphs. But beyond that, the trends are roughly the same in terms of decoding as they are in terms of encoding. Okay, so the conclusions that I'd like to get out of this study. Thank you. We'll meet it. First, today's open source erasure code implementations can easily keep up with the disks, clearly, even on slow CPUs, which is a nice thing. Second, the special purpose RAID 6 codes are indeed better than their Reed-Solomon alternatives, and the Cauchy Reed-Solomon coding, as theoretically predicted, does perform better than the general purpose Reed-Solomon coding. However, with Cauchy Reed Solomon coding, you need to pay attention to the matrix because you can definitely get better performance by tuning the matrix so that it has a fewer number of ones in it. And with all of the codes, you need to pay attention to this parameter W and how your codes are fitting into memory in your cache, because obviously all of those things matter when you're crunching things through to get your XORs out. And finally, the biggest impact of future research in this field is going to come, I would be bold enough to say that I think RAID 6 is dead and we don't need to work on it anymore. Right? RAID 6, we've got good codes, they work, there's a good variety of them, but now the space where I think the improvement's going to come is in the higher levels of fault tolerance. Now, will that impact you all in this room? Probably not for 10 years or so, but at some point, you know, just like RAID 5 isn't enough anymore, at some point RAID 6 won't be enough anymore, and we'll probably have to see more research on codes that have that level of fault tolerance. Now, before I open it up to questions, I'll get some questions that I'm anticipating so I can take the interactivity out of it. First question that I know I'm going to get is, your machines suck. And I know that's not a question, so we'll turn it into a question. Why didn't you use better ones? Why didn't you use multicore? Why didn't you use the SSE? Well, I took the libraries and I put them up. I just wanted to see what you were getting. This is a starting point. I don't believe it's a starting point if you're going to be putting erasure coding into your disk applications. These are a good starting point, but you're going to need to tune them for your hardware, and general purpose libraries are not going to be tuning for your hardware. We did put this on a faster machine. I have a 64-bit machine, 3 gigahertz, and what you see is the same thing. The relative performance of the codes is roughly the same. It is interesting here that the minimal density codes outperform RDP. I didn't go in and explore and start twiddling to see exactly what was going on here, but the rough outline is basically the same. Question number two, my friend has, this one comes from last year's talk. My friend has this implementation of Reed-Solomon coding that blows all of your stuff away. And again, that's not a question. So the question, what do you have to say about that? And I say, cool, give it to me. Fine. So anecdotal evidence, I'm sure it's hard evidence. I haven't seen it myself. But people I trust have told me that if you go in very detailed with your machine architecture, your register set, and how everything works, you can get Reed-Solomon coding for RAID 6 and even for M equals 3, I've heard now, at cache line speeds. So you can do it. I'd love to see it posted. I think most people who write this don't want to post it. They are implementing stuff on their systems. Why didn't you test the Reed-Solomon codec in the Linux kernel? That one implements Anven's optimization. And I'm just saying, my bad, I didn't. I didn't go ripping code out of the kernel. I just took the libraries that were designed for you to put Reed-Solomon code or these coding into your applications. Okay, now I'll take real questions.
Margo Seltzer from Harvard University. So thank you once again. You've made me care about erasure code, something I never thought I would.
Once a year.
So my question is, given how sensitive these are to the cache size, is it at all even feasible to think about looking at cache oblivious methods to try to implement these codes so that for individuals on machines, it's not quite so painful to figure out how to tune it for your cache?
That's a good question, and just in my own space, I bandy back and forth between caring about the cache and caring about the code. And I kind of believe it's not really going to be individual on a machine, but someone's going to be implementing this code in some sort of implementation of a file system or any storage system, and that's going to be, I think, any successful implementation of that is either going to have to accept the fact that they're suboptimal, but you're still running so much faster than the disk it doesn't matter, or you're just going to have to spend the pain of figuring out how your cache is working and how the code's put it in. Certainly, the simpler the code, the better the cache, easier it's going to be for you to figure out how it's working with the cache. So you know, maybe that is something you should think about when you're evaluating code, is how simple is it for me to reason about the code so that I can see how it's going to work with the cache. Yeah, Ethan.
Okay, Ethan Miller, UC Santa Cruz. Also, I think it's very interesting stuff. One question you didn't anticipate is, what about some recent work that does Reed-Solomon codes, actually Galois field arithmetic in general, on GPUs? How does that influence the kinds of stuff you're working here, and is that going to be something we should look at?
Well, certainly something you should look at. How does it influence, again, I kind of view, at first, I kind of view the open source libraries as, oh, okay, everyone can use them. But now my view on this is that, no, you know, the things you're talking about are going, if you really want the coding in your production system, you're going to have to look at that, clearly. But if you're wanting to get coding working on your system so that you can evaluate how that's going to work so that you can then develop the further things that you're talking about, then that's what this is useful for. But yes, clearly, implementing a Galois field arithmetic on a GPU means you can use general purpose Reed Solomon coding. And yes, if you've got that, then you don't need to use RDP or whatever. So I hope that answers your question.
Yeah, that's
fine. Steven Speckman, Quantum. Every question you're getting asked is the same question. It's the one that you anticipated. But can I turn this around and sort of ask you for a very soft response to the question of what is the code quality like on the libraries that you've looked at? How much optimization has gone into them? Have they reduced everything to table lookup, or have they tried to be clever? What does it look like in there?
What does it look like in there? So the ZFEC library built on top of Rizzo's code is the one which is a general Reed Solomon coder, I think does the best job of trying to put as much optimization as you can without resorting to special purpose hardware. The Luby code clearly is a proof of concept code. The JErasure code is in the middle. So the JErasure code, right, with the Reed Solomon implementation, does use table lookup for the small values of W. It uses the log and anti-log tables for the medium values of double, and even blows those tables up by a factor of 3 so it can get rid of an if statement, if it's feasible memory-wise. Now, is there more optimization that could be done with that library? Absolutely. So, you know, is that a production-level library? No, not yet. But could it be made so? Sure.
All right, thank
you. Hope that's soft enough. All right. Thank you.